Okay, so we're in part five of my six-part series. That was a five-part series, so technically it was over today. But anyway, so I added one of the sermons, and today we're going to be talking about grace. Okay, all what we've been talking about was building up to this point in time. You see, I will say this every year until I die. This is the most important time for a Christian ever. Christmas is great, okay? But Easter is everything. Because without Easter, we do not have the resurrection. We do not have life. You know, bought a shirt just for this day because that's what I do. We call Friday good. I had a conversation with my granddaughter today because I got to spend the day with my granddaughter. Five-year-olds are very smart. My five-year-old granddaughter is extremely smart, actually. And I'm a person that doesn't mind them getting Easter eggs and doing the Easter thing and doing all that stuff as long as they know why. So today, my first question to her is, she was going to get Easter candy tomorrow at Woodward's because her dad works at Woodward and they have a really great deal that they get. They get a golden egg, which gives them a... She gets excited about silly stuff, by the way. She helped me today get ready for some of the stuff for Sunday, and she loves communion wafers. I don't know anybody who likes communion wafers. My granddaughter, if you wanted to buy her a gift, you could buy her a box of communion wafers, and she would be the happiest little kid ever. She told me today that she had the best day of her life because I gave her a pad of paper, a pen with four colors on it, and two communion wafers. It was the best day ever. And by the way, I am the best popper ever in her whole life. But to say that, so I said to her, you know why we celebrate? Why do we celebrate Easter? And she goes, because Jesus rose from the grave. From the dead. She said, rose. She didn't say from the dead or anything. And I said, you know why Friday, what is today? I said, it's called Good Friday because Jesus died on this Friday and he rose on. She goes, then Papa, it really is Bad Friday because Jesus died. But then, this is why we could learn a lot from listening to little children. And I wouldn't word it this way, but she said, do you know why we do good for Jesus, do things for Jesus? Because Jesus does for us. When we die, Jesus does good for us. 5 years old. 5 years old. So today we celebrate Jesus' death. We celebrate it. It's kind of weird that we kind of celebrate the fact that Jesus died. But he died for us. So anyway, we're going to be in John because there's the whole Bible, every book has something about Jesus' death. So we're going to be in John chapter 19. And we're going to read through the whole thing. And I promise you, I will have you out of here before 8 o'clock, okay? Or around 8 o'clock. It won't go past 8 o'clock, I promise you, okay? Because... So, let's start with the text. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So now he's been flogged. By the way, this flogging, do you know what? See, I think we don't understand this, okay? Now Jesus would not be recognizable. He would not be recognizable. That was the idea of flogging. By the way, There's no record of anything like this happening any other time, where a person is flogged and then crucified. This is not a normal punishment. This day we're celebrating is not normal. He was flogged so you could not recognize him. He would have had ribs sticking out of him because there was little glass shards that would dig in and hook on and rip out on the end of this whip. It was brutal. Not only that, they stuck, found a cross. When they did that, they would push it into his skull because they were mocking now the Jews. Not Jesus as such, but they were mocking the Jews as well because they hated the Jews. Okay? And he can't find no guilt. Pilate can't find any guilt in him, but he's allowed this to happen. So now he would go about. Nobody would recognize him if he was let off at this point because he would have been so brutally marred from all the scarring. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." By the way, at this point, you've got to get, I always tell you, get into the text, okay? That wasn't one person's riding crucified. The whole crowd there was hypnotized now to shout, "Crucify, crucify, crucify." They wanted Jesus dead. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So they're all manipulating the situation here. They're manipulating the situation. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement and the Aramaic Gabbath. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." That is a bad situation right here. Because here's the thing, this goes back Old Testament, by the way. The Jews were never supposed to have a king. Never. Even though King David was an important role and God knew all that was going to come out of King David's line, they wanted a king because all of the nations had a king. They already had a king. His name was God, Yahweh. He was supposed to be their king. And at this point, these are Pharisees saying that their king is Caesar. There's a problem with this. But the same problem they're suffering with here, we suffer with. Because we put things on our thrones, like things with presidents' pictures on them. And we can neatly put them in our wallet. We worship money or things. Or even, this is really bad because this is hard. I love my 5-year-old granddaughter, If you didn't know that, I hope you do, because the way I talk about it, I love all my grandchildren, I love all my children, I love my wife, I love all my family. But they're not mine to worship. And I'll tell you, this is what's happening today. Parents worship their children. It's an epidemic. It's an epidemic in the world today. Because guess what? Why are all sports, when you get in the up, always played on a Sunday? So that gets people out of church. We think we're doing, oh, we're being good parents because we're taking our kids to a sporting event. But we're not taking them to church. Which do you think is more important? See, we're doing exactly what these people did. But this is about Jesus. And without his death, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without his death, without Jesus giving up his life for us, there is no forgiveness of sin. You see, Jesus lived because you couldn't live a perfect life. Every one of you, me, we can't live a perfect life. We're not perfect human beings. You see, so Jesus was born of a virgin. The reason he was born that way and didn't just appear is because he needed to be fully human and fully God to pay for the penalty of not just sin past, but the present sin that was happening at that moment and the future sin that we're in now. That is why Jesus came when he came too. It was the perfect time because, you know, that at that time, there was a common language. Crucifixion had been invented at that time. Because when it blows your mind if you study the scriptures, because when Isaiah talks about crucifixion, there is no crucifixion. The Romans come up with that later. And the word crucifixion means excruciating. That's the whole idea of the thing. There's no children in there. Do you know what they would do if they wanted to prolong it? They would, if you was a male, they would take the cross, they would put a little seat there. Not only would they nail you to the cross this way and through your feet, through your shins to hold you to the thing, but they would nail your penis to that seat. Yeah. They perfected torture. And if you go to that time, do you know when they conquered a city? To make people aware that it was being conquered, they would line up crosses down the street. And they would put people on it. So when you entered that city, you went past all these people that were on the crosses saying, look, we're going to rule with peace, but peace with an iron fist. You mess up, that's where you're going to be. It's one way to get people to behave. You know? Jesus went through that after he was brutally beaten and whipped and mocked and spit at. For you. See, I need you to picture this, that it's for you. You need to make this personal, because that's the only way this is going to change your life. Unless you make this personal, that it was about you that Jesus was doing this, you're never going to change. You're going to continue to live the same life, thinking that you're saved, doing the same thing you do every day, but you come to church once a week or twice a week. If you're lucky, you pick up your Bible, but there's no actual change. Because you haven't made it personal. Christianity is a personal religion. It is not anything but that. He goes on to say this. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Now, this is another thing. He didn't carry his whole cross, more than likely. I don't think anybody in their fittest shape would be able to carry a whole Roman cross with them. They used to leave the main support beam, the main beam, they used to leave the vertical beam in place, okay? What they would carry out was the cross beam, the vertical beam. That would have weighed a lot. And Jesus was forced on his scarred up back. You've got to picture this. There was no flesh that probably didn't have cuts in. Now, this piece of wood wouldn't have been a nice sanded piece of wood. It would have had splinters in it that were sticking into his wounds that he already had. I don't know how he walked 2 feet with the beam, let alone part of the way. There they crucified him, and with him, 2 others, one on either side and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote on the inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into 4 parts, 1 part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in 1 piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, they divided my garments among them. For my clothing, they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus, where his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene were, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. What he's doing here is giving his mom to John and John to his mom to take care of each other, because he knew he wasn't there anymore. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own house. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. You see, Jesus took our penalty. He paid our debt and suffered our death. It's all because of you and me. This is the theme, is it's personal. The only person who knows how bad you are is you. Some people would say, I don't deserve that. Well, yes, you do. Because you sinned against God. And God needed just punishment for your sin. And this was it. So Jesus took a penalty, paid our debt. It was paid. It's been paid. And suffered our death. And he goes on, the next verse says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. See, It's grace, and you can't add anything to it. Here's the thing. There's been a lot of things that have been going crazy the last week, haven't there, in Rockford area, okay? Okay, crazy things. The kid in Walmart just up the street, the 11 people that were attacked, that some are in critical conditions, a lot of them got killed brutally for no reason. Would it be right of me to go into that hospital for the survivors and say, by the way, I forgave your attacker? Would that be right for me to do? Would it be right for me to forgive them? It wouldn't, would it? It wouldn't be right for me to forgive them. If it was for me, I'm saying, would it be right? How would that go over? Wouldn't go over well, would it? You see, that's the thing about Jesus. Jesus, God, is the only one who can forgive you of your sin. Nobody else can forgive you of that. And when Jesus was on the cross and yelled out, "It was finished," the word he used means paid in full. It's like when your deed is paid on your house, except for we still owe taxes because we live in the world still and they still want the taxes. But the house is paid in full. You don't have to pay. Or if you buy a car and you get the title because you've paid it off and it's paid in full. So you don't owe anything anymore. That is what Jesus is saying. How come so many people think they have to earn salvation? How can we go around living like we have to earn it? We have to do good for God or he's not going to continue. It's not just Catholics that believe this, by the way. There's a lot of Protestants that would say that, yes, you're saved by grace, but now you've got to add to that grace to keep you saved. People keep thinking that that's only a Catholic view, and it's not. It's called works-based salvation, and we can't earn it, because it wouldn't be grace, would it? If we could actually do something, would it be grace? No. It's not grace. And the only person that can forgive you for your sin paid the price for your sin. You just have to ask for the forgiveness of that sin. But here's the key. I don't think you have to earn salvation. But I do think it should change your behavior. I'm a big believer that just because you've asked Jesus to save you, okay, I hope there's some change in your life. Because if there was no change in my life, I would be on my knees every minute if I didn't see any change in me. Because here's the thing is, because I don't think that once you get that free gift, that something doesn't happen inside of you. Once you fully took that gift, it changes you. And now you don't do stuff because I'm going to earn God's favor. I could never earn God's favor, by the way. I've done so much bad stuff, and I keep doing bad stuff. My debt just keeps occurring. The interest is too high. I can't pay it off because I'm using the credit card too fast. Do you understand that? That's what it's like. You can't earn it, so the good you do, you don't do because you have to. You do because you get to. We get to be used by God. See, God owes you nothing. And he gave you everything. Everything that you have today, God gave you. Do you know what you deserve? To be a pile of ash on the ground. That's what you deserve. According to the Bible, that's what we all deserve. But God didn't give you that. He gave you grace. and he saved you. He chose you, actually, to be his child. So stop trying to add to it. Because here's the problem is when we do stuff because we think we have to, it only lasts for a while, then we stop. That's how I know, by the way, when people say, I'm doing this because I want to do this, and then they do it for a couple weeks or a month or a couple months, and then they stop completely, they were doing it that to feel good about themselves. Not because they wanted to, not because they wanted to serve God because of what he's done for them. I mean, he's a loving father. I mean, we live, you're all blessed. I'm blessed because I moved here. You're blessed because you were born here. Every one of you is blessed because you were born in this country. I don't think we understand that. And we don't get it. But we need to remember it. It goes on to say this. Since it was the day of the preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. And that would happen to all of we, as if we, that's a medical thing, that would have blood and water would come out of you if you got pierced in the side. It's not supernatural or anything. He who it has borne witness, his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also believe. For these things took place that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in the linen cloths with the spices as the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. This is where Jesus was laid. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus went to that grave today. He went there because he was full of grace and mercy for you and me. He went there for you. He died for you. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? That's why Friday's good, because Jesus died. He died a death that we all deserve. But he lived a life that we couldn't. So that meant that on Sunday, we're going to celebrate something. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. So, I want you to read Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, the whole of the text, and John 20. That's going to be some Bible between now and Sunday, okay? If you choose to read just one of them sections, read it. It talks about the resurrection. So, and in his resurrection, Jesus will be standing. And he will never lie down again. See, he doesn't sleep anymore. Because he's not in his human body anymore. He's still got a body, but it's completely heavenly now. He doesn't need rest. He doesn't need rest. And we're going to talk about that on Sunday. But before we do that, I told you I'd have you out by 8 o'clock, and I'm a man of my word today. Wait, no, because there's a video. Don't get excited. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we get to come on a Friday to remember your son's sacrifice for us, that he poured out that blood for us and washed us clean. White like snow, like the song says. We are clean, not because we can be clean on our own, but because Jesus made us clean. In Jesus' name, amen.